Dufferbet, proud sponsors of the Welsh Premier League. Welcome to Dufferbet, WPL Radio.
Yet again, another week of great goals and fantastic games. Who'd want to spend a wet Wednesday in Maidstone when you're watching the games you've witnessed in the Dafydd Welsh Premier League this week? It's Weber and Jonah for next half hour. Coming up, analysis from ABBA. Both sides on the banger draw with the Nomads. And of course, we'll preview the week ahead. We'll also talk about the fact that we are now 10 games into this league. And a look at the odds at what's going on there. But first, Jonah, look, the way they're going, they're going to have to draw lots to decide the October goal of the month, aren't they? There's just too many to choose from.
The goals are flying in, Mac. Absolutely flying in the league. And I thought I witnessed one of the great goals when I seen Lewis Buckley's goal at the Hollingsworth Group Stadium for Landed no one, he scored against Airbus. And then a week later, you see the lads, you know, the goalkeeper scoring an absolutely brilliant goal again. Mullock, you know, a lot of people at first said, I don't think he did it on purpose. He said on Scorio, he did it on purpose. It looks like he did it on purpose. It's just a perfect strike. And then the goal from the lad from Bangor, Braden Shaw. What a fantastic goal. Andy Morrison on the Scorio interview after said, it was a worldie. It was an absolute... Well, he lashed it in the top corner. So, who are you going to get to pick all of the month? Einstein's not about anymore, is he? It's going to be that difficult to sort out. But the goals are flying in. But there have been some quality goals, Mac. Out of them three, Buckley's, Mullock's and Shaw's, I don't know.
Well, hold on, you've got a better memory as me. I'm sure there's others as well. I mean, Buckley, you've mentioned Mullock, Braden. First goal for Cardiff Met against the Druids this weekend has got to be up there as well, hasn't it?
Yes, that's a brilliant goal, yeah, Charlie Crosby's. And I tell you what, Chappell was unlucky not to get the goal of the month last month, in my eyes. Baker from Cardiff Met, he scored another screamer. He's the one player, I think, who loves the cameras.
Now, of course, this is where you remind me that you told me last week that on this podcast we had a conversation about the ball sitting up better on the 3G, and that is causing these fantastic goals. So this is the moment in the podcast where you go, I told you so, Mark, and look what happened last weekend.
I think it's true, Mark. The ball does sit up for the first time strike. Years ago on the not-so-good pitches, you'd have to tee it up. And the other thing I think we have to mention is goalkeepers do now tend to play as sweepers, like Manuel Neuer of Germany, you know. And so everybody is, the goalkeeper's encouraged to play between his 12-yard spot and his 18-yard spot. Sometimes he's encouraged a lot to play outside his 18-yard spot. Now, with the ability of some of these players in this league now, and the pitches as smart as they are, I think you're going to see a lot more of the long-distance goals. And Mullock just backs up the argument. If it's there to strike, you'll see a lot more long-distance goals in this league.
Well, let's hear from the man himself. He made history by scoring the first goal at the relayed Park Avenue. Chris Mullock.
Well, I've just seen the lad off his line, and there's quite a swirling wind and it's behind me, so I thought I'll give it a go, and luckily the wind carried it through for me, and yeah, it dropped in.
Have you ever been beaten by a similar goal yourself?
Yeah, I know how it feels. It's not nice, but it's one of those things where if it goes in, it kind of does knock your confidence a little bit, but apart from that, no, it was a good goal. The wind is always an assist. It's hard to, you know, to kick a ball that far without any sort of assist. So I thought, with the wind, I thought, give it a go and see what happens.
Brand new 3G facility here, a thumping wind for you. Must have been difficult for the players to play away from home so often. So how important is it now to get, you know, a run of home matches off to a winning start?
Huge. We were saying that before the game. Tonight is a massive game. We have got a run now, so we can kick on, hopefully. And it has been tough for the lads because it's a lot of travelling and stuff like that, but it's good to have the home advantage and the crowd here as well. We had 1,100 or so tonight, and they helped as well, so it was good.
So in years to come, when people sort of Google Chris Mullock, do you think this is going to come up tonight?
I hope so, yeah. I might be doing that when I get in, see if it's gone up already.
Right, well, Jonah, look, we've talked about Aberystwyth needing to capitalise on their return home, and boy, did they do that. 4-0 thumping. We've talked about Mullock's goal. Let's talk about the rest of the performance. That was quite a welcome home, wasn't it?
It was a dream welcome home for Aberystwyth. You know, I've seen the manager, Bishop. He congratulated his committee and everybody at Aberystwyth on you know, their new pitch. He's just come to this season, but it's been a long working process job, but they've done a fantastic job. I'm so pleased that people of Aberystwyth. I know there's a lot of students there, but the people of Aberystwyth as well turned out to... It was the biggest crowd for 15 years. You know, that's fantastic. And to put a performance of 4-0, if you get half of them back next week, that, you know, that would mean 700. So maybe the good times could be back at Aberystwyth Park Avenue. It's a brilliant place to play football. It's one of the, you know, better grounds in the league. They're a great club in the league. To be honest, I was pleased to see them have a celebratory evening on the opening of their new pitch.
It was quite clear to me that the people that did turn up, Jonah, were there for a party and did want to welcome them back. I mean, I think the guys at Aberystwyth originally were predicting they might get 750 through the door, and then they kept on coming and they kept on coming. 1,001. If half of them come back now, that's a victory. And to be fair, they'll probably feel that Aberystwyth want to play on that pitch now, and they will come back week in, week out.
If you're telling me as players, it's not better to, you know, nobody can tell us, it's not better to play as a player in front of the crowd. See the goal scorers at the end, see Borelli and the likes just running to the crowd at the end, embracing ourselves with the fans. Brilliant for this level of football. And I just hope that every one of them who went enjoyed it and will turn out. And a Friday night fixture at Aberystwyth, I've managed there loads of times on a Friday evening. It was always a tough place to go. And I'm sure Matthew Bishop would love to get a few more Friday evening fixtures so he can get the crowd behind his team and his team can really enjoy the occasions.
Looking back a bit further, Jonah, Aberystwyth had tough times last season. And you could argue that the rot sort of set in even a bit before that. This re-emergence of Aber, and look, all right, let's not get over the top. They've had one game at the new stadium. They could lose the next four, and we'd be talking about them being relegation fodder again. But the atmosphere and everything that came together that day, it's overdue, not only just because of the 3G, it's overdue because of the way Aber have been for the past season and a half, isn't it?
I don't know. I thought I was riding a horse then, Mark. I was just going to rein you back in a bit. Like, you are a top-class pundit, and you jump on it straight away, and you think that the horse is gonna go again and win the national, mate. It's one game, it's 4-0. Bish will be over the moon, like you said. They got five games to go. Right, we spoke on the podcast last week that if they got 8 or 9 points, it'd be a great return, and I'm sure that'd still be a great return for them. They're still, you know, they're in ninth position, I think. They got 12 points from 11 games. For them to be where they want to be, although saying that, if they have another win, like you said, to back your argument, they could go fifth. That's how tight this league is. But just rein it in a little bit. I think they need to get back on track. If they were to get back in the top six for me, that'd be a great season for Bish. And it'd be a season to say, Aber are back amongst the big boys if they make the top six.
I tell you why I'm getting excited and I need to rein it in. I'm actually more excited about the atmosphere and what was achieved there on that day. And then I add that up to the crowds I see coming back to Bangor and the crowds I saw coming back to Rhyl a few weeks ago when everything was going well for them. And that's what gets me excited. Cumulatively, all of that makes me think we now have three or four teams in this league. Okay, of course, not all of them are going to be top two, top three, whatever. But in terms of attendance and making this league feel like it is exciting, you know, bums on seats, bodies in the stands, don't half out send out a message to people.
It does send out a message to people, and it's what we've been talking about for a few months. It has everything. The pitches are here now. You know, we have the television. We have good players. We have the standards have rose dramatically in the league. If we can get the crowds to back it, we'll start making people sit up and watch us and give us more credit.
Of course, what you left off that list is a soon-to-be award-winning podcast. The league's got one of them now.
Don't run away with yourself. You haven't had the award yet.
Oh, it's only a matter of time. Hey, look, we've talked to the man who caused a stir at the start at Aberystwyth. You mentioned somebody else who's up for goal of the season or goal of the month as well. That happened at Bangor because we said the game of the weekend last week was going to be Bangor against Nomads, and it sure as heck didn't disappoint. A Brazilian scoring in the league for first time. 2-2 it ended. First the thoughts of that wonder goal equaliser score, Braden Shaw, and then Nomads, Danny Harrison.
Took it from the outside, got it on my feet. And then, yeah, I just saw him drop back, so I thought, you know, why not? It's been a while since I scored. I've scored the hardest one, so I just delighted to get my first goal, really.
there's sometimes in games of football you've got to hold your hands up, and when the lad cut inside, I think I was probably second man behind him, and it's one of them, as soon as he hit it I turned and feared the worst, to be honest, and I was right behind it all the way. John stood no chance. Great bit of skill by the lad. But it's one of them, goals do change games. I think we sort of started the second half ever so well, and rightly went in front. We were on top for sort of the next 10-15 minutes. Then they scored and it sort of set up a decent finish. Wilders had a little sort of half chance maybe at the end there, but yeah, coming off, we're fairly happy with the draw.
Only a matter of time Samba football came to this league. What does this game, though, say about these two sides? Because me and you have had plenty of conversations about who's the top dog in this one, haven't we?
It's going to be a great contest, I think, both managers. They were both desperate to win the game. I think they started as favourites on Omar's Bangor. I think they still are. Leggy's done well at Bangor so far. I think they're surprising a few people. He would have been, before the start of the game, Leggy would have loved a point, but by the look of the interview on Scorio at the end, he was a little bit disappointed not to get the three. Fair dues, like I said earlier on, to Andy Morrison. He had he came on the television after and said what a fantastic goal to get them the equaliser, and it looked like it was a game which could have gone either way right throughout it. It was a great game, 2-2, 90 minutes. It gives the new Saints a bit more of a lead in winning the league, but the scrap below it is developing, and if Bangor can keep up their form, the scrap for second could be on.
Well, I was going to say, which one of those two sides looks like a second place side? I think we have to counter this as well with the fact that Nomads have got a bucket load of injuries. They've not got their full squad there to pick from, and we all know that makes a difference. So, are we seeing like a 75 or 80% Nomads as opposed to 100% Nomads?
I'm not quite so sure about that because I'm looking at the points total in front of me, and I think, I spoke to Andy Morrison last week, I think at this stage last year they may have been close to top of the league. They've had a great start. They're unbeaten. They've had 11 games. They've had 6 wins and 5 draws, and that usually gets you top or close to the top of the league. It's just the runaway train, which is called the New Saints, have been playing so well. But I think at this stage of the season, then, if you'd have said to Andy Morrison at the start, Gap Connors Key will be second and 5 points clear of their nearest opponents after 11 games, I think he would have said, I'll take it.
Well, great results for Cardiff Met, beating Druids 5-0. But Ben Bowler thought there could have been more.
I don't think it was like a particularly great performance, but we managed to get a few early goals, which sort of killed the game off, and then it just sort of went from there. But I wouldn't say we were fantastically good today. Just maybe took our chance a bit better than normal.
And was he right, Jonah? Could have Met have got 5 or 6?
Just my luck. The first Cardiff Met game I've missed at home, I think on a Sunday this season, and Christian's boys go out and slam in 5. They've been threatening to do it. And unfortunately for the Druids, they were on the end of a spanking. He wasn't very happy, Huey. He came on at the end and he on the television and said he wasn't very pleased with his team's performance and we have to be better than that. But for Christian and my team of students, they done him proud on Saturday, and to get 5 goals at home, that will definitely, ruffle a few feathers amongst fans down in the Cardiff area and say, oh, I tell you what, this Cardiff Met might be doing well. Shall we go and watch them again? If they only got to start getting the goals and climb up the league, and it'll add 100 or 200 to their crowd.
I've seen some of the Bluebird supporters fans on Twitter saying, oh, well done, the Archers. Worth going down, worth seeing. So there's definitely a momentum in the city. One quick question about referees before we move on, Jonah. Look, I heard, in that interview there with Ben Bowler, he was a little bit concerned about one of the refereeing decisions. There was mention that some of Bangor should have got a free kick. I think Bala think they should have got a penalty at some stage in their game with Airbus. Now, obviously, they're individual decisions. You probably wouldn't have had time to assess or look at the pictures, but the issue of referees not making the right decisions is sticking its head above the parapet again. Are you concerned about the standard of refereeing you're seeing at the moment?
Do you know my answer to that, Mark? I think they've done quite well. I'm not a manager, mind you. When I was a manager, I might have moaned a lot about them, right? But my basic answer to that is, name me a league or name me a football match where the losing side or the manager doesn't moan about the referee, right? It's just part and parcel of football. You've got, at least when I like the English Premier League now, where Marino, he's moaning about them before the start, okay? So, mate, referees, they're out there to do a job. They're doing a half-decent job so far. Everybody's going to moan about it. It's part and parcel of the game. I think it's been part and parcel of the game for 50 or 60 years, and it'll be part and parcel again until they, you know, they bring in televised replays and stuff like that, which is going to be a long way off, especially at our standard. They're doing okay. Yeah, everybody can make a bad decision, but every footballer can make a bad mistake, and every manager can make a bad mistake. It's all part and parcel, mate.
Now, still to come, we're going to have a look through those games of the week ahead, and also we're going to have a look at the issue that perhaps dare not speak its name this week. Where's Craig Harrison going to be managing very soon? But first, look, Jenna, we are over 10 games into this league now, and I've got in front of me the Davabet odds for the outright winners, and of course the New Saints are running away with it. We've still got Ballertown ahead of Bangor City, and I find that very odd. Of course, Ballard perhaps are not going to win the league. Perhaps Bangor City are not going to win the league. But Jonah, there seems to be some recognition there that Ballard have still got something in them. And I've not seen anything in that 3-3 draw last week that makes me feel that Ballard are at the level that they were last season.
I think they're just Mickey Mouse odds now, Mac. I'm not knocking any individual bookmaker, but league is a contest. That's why they're 100-1, the New Saints. So, you know, let's see. Let's don't have title odds for the league. Let's have interesting title odds for second place then, if they're going to give that. And Bangor will not be as long as that if you're just betting on second place. I think the odds will change completely if you're just betting on second place. Gap Connors Key would most probably be the favourites. They're still 25-1. Gap Connors Key for the title. You've got them in front of us. Ballard 125-1. Bangor 200-1. They're all, you know, they're all Leicester City miracles. They are, and half of the season's almost already gone. But outright winners, it looks, you know, they should be 1-1,000 on the New Saints now. But answer to your question, I think Bangor, well, they'll definitely be involved in a shout for Europe. If you gave anybody 2 or 3, 4, 5 to 1 now on Bangor qualifying for Europe, and you might have a lot of takers.
Now, we've talked about how tight the league is. Let's talk about how tight that squeeze to get into that top six will be. I mean, Carmarthen doing very well, got a great result. Rhyl petered off of late, but they did have that run of form as well. And Cardiff Met have come, you know, from, well, almost zeros to now heroes. I mean, I wouldn't want to bet a penny on who's going to be within the six, because you do wonder whether that will come down to goal difference or even drawing of lots.
Well, at the beginning of the season, Mac, if you said to me, pick one, you know, 1 to 12, everybody, I think, has a little, you know, a little go at it and just tries to pick out their 1 to 12. It's just to take the New Saints out of it now, and it's just as difficult. I mean, I don't think anybody at the start of the season would have had Newtown at the bottom with 7 points, Airbus at 11. It's only Newtown at the moment who are slightly adrift, 4 points adrift, which really surprises me. I know. I thought Newtown squad were a wonderful squad, and I still think they'll get out of danger. So who's going to be bottom two? Who's going to be in the top six? I think there's only one thing sorted out in this league so far after 11 games, and that's the team who's going to win it. Everything else, like you said, it's almost a lottery. It's so tight. With every team beating everybody else, one worry for me, Newtown have gone 4 points adrift at the bottom, and they play TNS this week, so you know it'll be a tough battle for them to get back in amongst. They don't want to get too many more defeats, but I'm sure Uzi will pull them round because they have the quality of player there. But I still couldn't pick you the 1-12 now, Mac.
The phrase that I keep on hearing about this league this season: fine margins. At Newtown, not very good at the fine margins. Is that why they find themselves where they are at the moment? They can't get that extra goal to get a draw or a win. They can't get that extra bit. And at this point, surely with the gap that there is and everybody else so close to each other, that has got to be a worry, isn't it?
It is a worry, but Chris Hughes might tell you that they might be having their bad spell at the right time. There will be another 20 games to go all together, you know, to save any sort of mishap of relegation or anything like that. They've had a great 2 seasons, Newtown. I don't think they stopped playing football for 2 seasons, maybe 2.5 seasons. So it might just be showing on them a little bit. They might be a little bit weary of, they might want a fresh face or two now to come in, maybe in a transfer window, and get them going again. But yeah, it's worrying times for them because they're down the bottom. No manager, no team wants to be bottom of the league. But I think a fresh face or two at Christmas and they could get going again.
Now, let's talk about the issue that has been bubbling on of late. Of course, Wrexham have lost their manager. They're in the market for a new one. The two names that keep on coming up in all conversations are Carl Darlington and Craig Harrison. What's your take?
I think we said a lot about it last week. One more has anybody got to do to prove themselves. They've proved themselves magnificently in the Daffabet Welsh Premier League. Two trebles in a row is absolutely unbelievable. Harrison's an ex-Premier League player. He's had experience of playing in the Premier League and the Football League. Darlington's is an international coach of, you know, of a top calibre. I don't know what else people have to do personally. I know them both, and I know them both well. Would I like to see him go on to Wrexham? I'd like to see him. If the challenge was there and it was to better their careers, I'd love to see him get on, because they're both decent guys. But I'd like to see him also take TNS into the Champions League groups in Wales. So I'm a bit 50-50 about it, Mark.
Okay, let's move on. As normally what happens at this stage is we've recorded our opinion on that, and by the time we put out the podcast, there's been a decision made one or the other, so we might do some editing on that. Anyway, let's move on to the weekend games. A quick sort of yes-no on these, Jonah. The all starts on Friday, 7:45. Kevin Druid's taking a pasting from the Met. Bala, 3-3 at Airbus, and the second half performance, just getting them through apparently on that. Is it Druid's day or Bala's day on Friday?
I think the Scorio interviews would have told you how they both felt last weekend. Both managers gave interviews after last weekend's game, and Hughie Griffiths was obviously not very upbeat, losing it was a 5-0 drubbing. But he'll know he has to get back quickly, get him up and look forward to the game against Bala. Caton, on the other hand, he was upbeat with his interview because they'd come back and they scored a couple of late goals to nick a point. The last goal was in the 93rd minute. Is that the type of goal and the type of time of the goal which gets his season back on track? Big game, both managers desperate. I think Hughie, after the thumping, will take a point. Colin will want 3.
Well, the latest Daffabet odds are Kevin Druids at 17-10 for the win, Bala for the away win at 11-8, and it's 12-5 for the draw. Of course, you can bet on Daffabet.com. Please gamble responsibly. Now, Airbus will be delighted with a draw out of what they got against Bala last week. They have a 2:30 Saturday kickoff against Carmarthen Town. How will that one go?
Yeah, they got the draw. I think you've seen Andy Thomas a little bit disappointed with his interview. That was 3 points in the bag when you're 3-1 up in the 83rd minute, but they let it slip. But they did well. They did well to go, to Meistegger and score 3 goals. Carmarthen, they're so tough to beat at home. Their home, their away form hasn't been great of yet. But when they're all fit, Carmarthen, I think they're a challenge for anybody, because they've got a lot of athletic players in their team. It'll be a great game. This, it could be, important game, because if Carmarthen could get the victory, they could go, 4 points away. And you said it earlier on, margins are important now, especially at this time of the season. It'll be one Airbus. The Airbus will definitely want to win again. So I think Tomo will be desperate for the 3, and A's might be happy with a 1.
Well, the odds are 6-5 for an Airbus win, 2-1 for Carmarthen away win, 12-5 for the draw. Now, El Gogico is back, the big game on Saturday, 5:15 in front of the Scorio cameras. It's Bangor against Rhyl. Now, this is a different El Gogico from the last time, isn't it, Jonah? Because Rhyl were really doing quite well when these two sides last met, but they've slipped off the pace a bit. Do you think it's Bangor's to take?
It's a television game. It's a local derby. It's bragging rights. I hope it's a seesaw game with plenty of action and goals. Andy Legg would have been pleased with a point before their last game, but he seemed disappointed, and that shows how well his side are playing. Niall would have been disappointed at Dabba. The big crowd helped Dabba, no doubt, but the young manager needs to get his, the Lily Whites back on track and get them up and hungry for the derby. He knows how important he is, as young as he is, he knows how important he is, and how important the game is to his fans. Leggy, with all his experience, knows how important it is to the Citizens fans. So I think we've picked a great game for Saturday's encounter, and I really hope there's 1,000 fans there to watch it.
Oh, never in doubt, it's a good game. And yes, the turnout will be fantastic. If you're in and around the Bangor area on Saturday, get yourself down there. It will be a fantastic game. Bangor, of course, 4-6 favourites for this one. 7-2 for a real win. 11-4 for the draw. And then three games on the Sunday, all 3 o'clock kickoffs. Aberystwyth, game home, number 2. Llandudno, the visitors this time. Aber 6-5 to take the game. Llandudno 2-1 to take the game. 12-5 for the draw. What say you, Jonah?
Llandudno played well in the first 45 minutes and ended up getting a 5-0 thumping. But that's what TNS are all about at the moment. Morgan's men created five or six decent chances in the first half. And, you know, Paul Harrison was most probably at his busiest he's been all season. So, you know, there was encouraging signs that they just got worn down in the end. And Aberystwyth 4-0, as you said, have they started the snowball before the winter even arrives? We'll have a look on Saturday. Could be a decent game, this. Could be a very decent game. I think they'll both attack the 3 points. I think both managers think they can win it. And this could be hopefully I could see it being a high-scoring draw.
Well, Gapconers Key play Cardiff Met, and Cardiff Met will definitely be up for this one after their performance over the weekend. 9-2 for them to win. It's 8-15 for the Gap win and 3-1 for the draw. What do you think?
Watched the first game 6 or 7 weeks ago. Gap were out of the blocks quickly. They imposed themselves on the game. Physical strength against the Met boys. And they took a 2-0 lead, which they went through them winning the game 2-1. I think the Met have grown into the league a bit more now. They've accepted they need a little bit more, maybe, physicality about them. They're getting used to the league. Andy Morrison will know this is going to be one of the toughest games of the season for his Gapconers Key team. They're undefeated at home. He'll want to keep that record intact. And Christian will be looking to put one over Andy Morrison because they claimed the points down at Kincoyd. Could be a great game Sunday afternoon. Maybe just edge out the home win, I think, the Nomads.
And finally, the New Saints against Newtown. Now, unsurprisingly, the Dava Bet odds say that Newtown are 20-1 to win this. So if you fancy earning yourself a bit of cash, maybe that's the bankroller to go for. That's the equivalent of the rollover, isn't it? The New Saints are 1-12, and it's 15-2 for the draw, interestingly. What do you think, Jenna?
Well, I think there's a few Robins fans might take the 15-2 for the draw. Chris Hughes will tell you that they've had a couple of draws there in the last couple of seasons. They've shown good form against TNS. Whether they can compete with the TNS of this season, you know, the revitalised, you know, just move the ball. We said it last week. They're just moving the ball quicker all the time. One of their class players, Aaron Edwards in midfield. He's been helped now by Brobble and Routledge in midfield, and they're shifting around so quick it's hard to get a tag on any of them. So it's a tough ask, especially when you're bottom of the league. But hey, you're bottom of the league, everything's not going your way. You go to play TNS, isn't that what football's all about sometimes?
Indeed. Jonah's off to Bangor, I'm off to the toilet. Have a nice weekend. Say goodbye, Jonah.
Good luck, Marco. Enjoy the toilet.
Sign up for your Dapper Bet account and support the WPL.